It says in 1 Corinthians in chapter 12, you could never find anything like this in the Old Covenant of recognizing the part that another member of the body has to play in the body, and no one can say, see, it says in 1 Corinthians 12:21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor can the head say to the feet, I have no need of you. It's good for all of us to ask ourselves, in whichever church you are, do you feel that your ministry is so gifted and so important that some of those other people you can do without them? That is one of the clearest proofs that you have not seen the body of Christ. It's something you have to see. You know, there are people who, we see a lot of non-Christians have not seen the way of salvation. They think they have to work and work and work and get forgiveness of sins. But God has opened our eyes to see the way of salvation, how freely it is. It's something you see. God opens our eyes. And I believe that God has to open our eyes, and He'll open your eyes if you're humble, to show you that you need that person. And especially those who are very gifted and who have a sense of self-importance and feel that they are very important to the body of Christ. It's very easy to feel, I don't need that person. And it says here, on the contrary, verse 22, do you understand this? Ask yourself, the members of the body which you think are weaker are necessary. You look around at Christendom. Nobody feels that way. The only one, the great preachers, the great healer, he's necessary. What about the weaker members? Oh, they're there or not there, it doesn't make a difference. Who has understood the body of Christ? Who has seen the body of Christ that the weaker members are necessary, which seem to be weaker? There's a ministry that some brothers can do that even the most gifted brother in the body of Christ cannot do. You need to understand that, especially those who are gifted. However gifted you may be in one area, there are many things you cannot do which some other brother has to do to complete that ministry of the body. And if you have a church where every person recognizes that, you build the body of Christ. And that's the purpose of teaching, is to enable everyone to recognize, I need my brother and he needs me. And where we value one another and don't think, you know, the Bible says everyone seeks their own. Love does not seek its own. When we think of enduring in love until the end, in the next chapter it says one of the characteristics of love in 1 Corinthians 13:5, it does not seek its own. I remember preaching this in one church, and somebody came to me and said, you think there's anybody who doesn't seek their own? Everybody seeks their own. I said, yeah, it was true in Paul's time also. All sought their own. But there was a Timothy who did not seek his own. There are not many. Generally speaking, even in the church, all seek their own. How will this benefit me? You know, you can join a church because you say, Yeah, this is a good place for my children to grow up. Nice place. The children are well behaved, and it's good for my children to be in this influence. You're an utterly selfish person who has not understood ABC of the body of Christ. You're seeking your own. How will this benefit my children? Yeah, my children can play in the music and they can develop. Uh-huh. What have you seen of the body of Christ? Do you feel that other person is necessary? We're thinking of promoting ourselves. What will benefit me? The people are nice. They'll help you when you're in trouble. If you have joined a church like that, I want to say to you in Jesus' name, you have not seen ABC of the body of Christ. And not only that, I want to say to you in Jesus' name, you are a hindrance to your local church. Because one fundamental truth of this body is there's no part of this body that seeks its own. The hand does not seek its own, the eyes, ears, they do not seek their own. Any part of this body that seeks its own is what the doctors call a cancer. My layman's understanding of a cancer is a group of cells that will take all the nourishment to itself and it will grow and grow and grow and grow. That's a cancer. What can I get out of this? What can I get out of this? And you may not realize that there are cancers in the body of Christ who have that spirit. They do not realize that everyone is necessary. And as I said here, one characteristic of love is love does not seek its own. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 5. I told you, it's not surprising that in the Christian church, most people seek their own. It was true in Paul's day. Please turn to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 19 to 21. If you want to find an outstanding example of a godly young man, it's Timothy. Philippians 2, 19. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly. Because, listen to this, Paul had so many co-workers. He's not talking about unbelievers. I mean, if you say unbelievers are seeking their own, oh, that's understood. All unbelievers seek their own. Or you say these carnal believers, they seek their own. But when Paul's co-workers, they're seeking their own. Somebody wants to be known as, you know, earlier on in Philippians, he says, because I'm in prison, some people are getting a chance to preach. Because Paul is in prison and say, great, now we can prove what great preachers we are because Paul is out of the way. They're seeking their own. And here he says, I don't have anybody else other than Timothy. Paul, you've got so many co-workers here with you, none of them? No. He's not talking about his entire team of co-workers like Titus and all the wonderful people. They were somewhere else, or Luke and all that. But the ones who were with him there, among them, he says, Timothy is the only one I can say. I don't have anybody like that who is genuinely concerned for your welfare. When you look around at Christendom today, you have preachers who are concerned for their own welfare. How will this benefit me? If I become a pastor of this church, how will it benefit me? If I go here, how will it benefit me? How will it benefit my children? But to be concerned for the welfare of others, and then it says, everybody seeks after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. And if we belong in that category, that I'm seeking my own interest, not the interest of Christ Jesus, I am a hindrance to the body of Christ. And that's why we don't see the body of Christ being built in many places, because it's very difficult to find people like Timothy. It's very rare. Like I said, every part of the body seeks the good of the other. And I want to say, brothers and sisters, it's an amazing thing that Jesus came to build the body. And when we love the church, we will do what Jesus did, as we read in Ephesians 5. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Ephesians 5, 25. Many of you belong to local churches. Can that word be written about you? That you love your church, your local church so much, that you give yourself for it. You don't want any honor. You don't want any gain. Of course, we always teach that we don't want any money. But I fear that many people who do not want money do want honor. And that is as bad as wanting money. Many, many people, even in our churches and similar churches, say, oh, I don't preach for money. But you want honor, brother. And there's zero difference between seeking for honor and seeking for money. Absolutely not. You can find fault with that other preacher who goes on television seeking for money. If you're seeking for honor, you're just in absolutely the same category. Your money is honor, that's all. His money is rupees. Your money is honor. But true disciple of Jesus, like Christ, would love the church and give himself up for it.